The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Two people are good. All right, awesome. I am Henry Lopez. I am the Young Marrieds, Singles, and Men's Ministry Pastor here at Shadow Hills. Today we are in part two of a sermon series called Daring Faith. Last week, Pastor Michael led us through the text on Jesus feeding 5,000. In that passage, we saw that for God to bring about a miracle in people's lives, the following must happen. They had to confess that they had a need. They had to consider what they already had. They had to commit what they had to God. And they had to count on God to multiply it. Today, we are going to take faith and examine it. We are going to look at the heroes of faith. And we are going to examine, we're going to examine faith. Faith itself. I have to be honest with you. As I examined the idea of faith this week, I found that it, in turn, was examining me. As I looked at the individuals in Scripture that were deemed faithful, I could look back at my life and I saw how my faith has grown. But at the same time, I was able to see how much more room there is to grow. I hope that this morning's lesson will do the same for you. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, you are faithful, even though we struggle with it. And Father, we're all here this morning for different reasons. Some out of routine or obligation, some out of conviction or desire, and some might be here this morning thinking, I really don't know why I'm here. I just felt that I needed to be here. God, thank you for bringing us into your body, your church. You have brought us here on purpose because you have made us for a purpose greater than ourselves. Lord, we ask that you would continue to encourage us, to challenge us, as you have through these songs. Do it with the fellowship that we have together, and do it through your word this morning. And God's people said, amen. Have you ever wondered what it takes to please God? Some people think that the way you please God is through ritual, you know, chanting certain phrases, performing certain things, lighting incense, lighting candles, covering your entire body with holy water. I know a little bit about trying to please God through tradition or ritual. You see, I come from a Catholic background. I remember being in communion and performing some of these rituals that I thought pleased God. And I can honestly tell you that I don't think he was very pleased with some of them, all of them. I lied in confession. There I was doing my first communion, and I ran out of sins to confess. And so I started confessing my brother's sins. He was older, so I figured he had more. And I figured he wasn't going to be totally honest, so I just started sharing his. Some people think that you please God through rules and regulations. You know, a checklist. All the things we're supposed to do and all the things we're not supposed to do. And others think that you please God through religion. Observing certain holy days, having a religious experience. Oh. But the Bible says that God is not interested in ritual, rules, regulation, or religion for that matter. So what is God interested in? Relationships. He made us for relationships. To have one first and foremost with him and then one with each other. The Bible says that it is impossible to please God unless you have one thing: faith. In Hebrews 11:6, we read, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Our faith pleases God. But what is faith? Some of the world would tell us that faith is believing in anything. You see, what's important is that you have belief in something, but that specific something is irrelevant. It's not important or crucial. What's important is that you have faith in something. Have faith in faith itself. Believe in believing and trust in trusting. That's what a relativistic world would tell us faith is. But that is an objectless faith. And faith is only as useful as that in which we place our faith and our confidence in. The Bible's teaching on faith differs from the world's watered-down definition by emphasizing the being in which we place our faith in, our trust in, our obedience to. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, sustainer and redeemer of human life, the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we are going to examine six facets of biblical faith. Faith is believing. Faith is obeying. Faith is giving. Faith is persisting. Faith is thanking. And faith is trusting. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we find a list of men and women whom the Bible says these people had faith. They got it right. And this week, as I looked at Hebrews 11, I was reminded of what a limitless God can do with average, everyday people like us. And it was incredibly encouraging. Number one, faith is believing what we do not see. As human beings, we often say things like, "I'll believe it when I see it." But God says, no, you got it all backwards. Some things you have to believe in before you see it. Take an architect. They believe in the building before they can see it. Take an artist creating a sculpture. They believe it before they see it. A financial planner. They believe in the growth of wealth before they see it. A couple falling in love. A congregation thinking about lunch. They believe it before they taste it. All these things require faith. Faith is believing when I don't see it. In Hebrews 11:1, we read, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of the things not seen." The building that we're sitting in right now and the future student ministries building, somebody has to believe in these things before they happen. In the 1960s, a small group of people believed that this church was possible. And now you're sitting in it. In the same way, we are going to have to believe that that building is going to bless generation after generation, just like we have been blessed by the generations that served God before us. Faith is believing before we see it. Faith is also obeying what we do not understand. Let's take Noah and Abraham, for example. Let's start with Noah. I want you to do something. I want you to put yourself in Noah's sandals. I want you to think about God coming to you and saying, "I see the wickedness that is happening all around you. And I'm done. I am going to destroy the entire world, and I'm going to start over with you. What are you thinking right now? How are you feeling? Any doubts? Any concerns? Any fears? Absolutely. But look at what we read about Noah. Hebrews 11:7. It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. Circle the words faith and obey. Faith is obeying. Obeying when you don't understand it. Noah had faith and obeyed, even though it didn't make sense. And I'm sure glad he did, because I need his example. And chances are that God has placed in some of your hearts a purpose with a few unknowns or unseens. And you need his example as well. As well as Abraham's example. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, we read this. It was by faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country God has promised to him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. Abraham is 75 years old, living in modern-day Iraq, Ur of the Chaldees, when God approaches him with all this. And maybe Abraham had doubts, or maybe Abraham was more of a go-getter. And he was like, all right, God, where are we going? And God says, oh, you've never heard of this place. Well, all right, fine. Well, how will I know when I get there? And how long is it going to take? God says, I'll tell you. Would you do that? Would you book that trip to destination unknown? I act more like my kids when it comes to that. We just went to the beach. Hey, Dad, where are we going? Hey, Dad, are we there yet? Hey, Dad, where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. Trust me. I'm taking you on vacation. I act more like them. Abraham obeyed, even when he didn't understand it. And he became the father of Israel. People to this very day are blessed because of Abraham's obedience, though he didn't fully understand it, though it had some unknowns and some unseens. People to this day are blessed because of his obedience. Faith involves risk. Some people want a guarantee before they obey God. But God says, that doesn't require any faith. I want you to believe even though you don't see it. I want you to obey even though you don't understand it. But what are we going to do? Will we believe and trust and obey God because he knows best? Or will we hold on to the facade that we know best? I'm human. I understand it. I get it. Some of these commands are unreasonable. Some are unusual. A lot of them are inconvenient. And some are flat out impossible. But they are all for our benefit. I know and trust that God loves me and he wants to mature me and he wants to bless me, but I still struggle. I still struggle when he asks me to do things that don't make sense. For instance, God says, when people hurt you, forgive them. No, I don't want to. I don't want to. But God says, don't be resentful and unforgiving, because resentment and unforgiveness hurts you more than anybody else. Let go. Forgive them. Don't hold on to that resentment for your sake. Live your life. Forgiveness is at the core of Jesus' ministry. We are commanded, we are called by his words and his deeds to forgive. This is how forgiveness works. We forgive out of obedience to God, and God blesses us with a diminishing amount of anguish and pain that was caused by that unforgiveness in the first place. It's beautiful how that works. It's like, God, you really know what you're doing. If you learn to do what God tells you to do, even though it seems absurd or crazy, God can bless your life. Blessings come from the deep, deep well of obedience. We can trust him. Or we can continue to say, no, I know best, God. I got this handled. I'll take care of it. I'm God. If you do that, you are going to miss out on so many blessings and so many joys that God has for you. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it, but it is more than that. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Giving and faith go together. Giving is not safe. God says, who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust my promises to take care of you if you put me first? Or will you continue to trust yourself? When we look at Abel in the Bible, we see a person who didn't do something amazing. He didn't do something extraordinary. He gave an offering, and God honors him. And he's not honored because of the size of the gift, but in how he gave. Hebrews 11:4 says, it was faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. Circle the words faith and giving, interconnected. It was what he gave, not it wasn't about what he gave, it was about how he gave. It wasn't the amount that he gave, it was the attitude by which he gave it. There are two reasons, two ways that we can give to God. We can give to God by reason or revelation. When we give to God by reason, this is what we do. We look at the bank account, do some quick calculations, and we come up with what we're willing to spare as we tip God. That doesn't require any faith. An atheist can do that because it doesn't trust God. When we give by revelation, what we do is we ask and we seek God, how much do you want me to trust in you to provide as I give? That's giving by faith. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will reap generously, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God says, you cannot outgive me. Faith is giving when we don't have it, but faith is also persisting when we don't feel like it. When we don't feel like it. Our culture says, if it feels good, do it. Do it now. Follow your feelings. Give in to your emotions. Mature people, on the other hand, live by their commitment and their convictions, not by their emotions. Emotions come and go. What I had for breakfast can affect my emotions. And truth be told, I don't always feel like being a nice or a good person. Sometimes I want to be selfish and grouchy, and for no apparent reason. Sometimes I feel like I should be the one that's getting served. That's why I go to restaurants and not buffets. I feel like my food should walk to me. I shouldn't have to walk to my food. That's so primitive. Sometimes I don't feel like being treated like a servant. I don't feel like being a servant to my wife and kids, to my extended family, to my boss and coworkers, to my church family. Sometimes I just don't feel like caring. Sometimes I just don't want to meet other people's needs or fulfill their complaints. But I have to keep on doing those things in spite of how I feel. Why? Because something as fickle as feelings should not have ultimate say in our lives. God should. That is the secret to success. Faith is being persistent. Faith is refusing to give up. Faith is doing the right thing even though we're tired or moody or fed up. Do not grow weary in doing good. Work not unto man but unto the Lord, the Bible says. So how do we develop this persistence? Let's look to Moses. Hebrews 11:27. It was by faith that Moses left Egypt and was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. Moses led an entire nation that was in slavery for 400 years out of slavery, through the wilderness, through the Red Sea. And for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. 40 years in the desert. Just imagine our summers for 40 straight years. How did he do it? How did he stay that persistent? I can't even hold on as I make microwave popcorn in the final seconds. Put the time in, put that in. And once it gets to about 10, 9, 8, just give me my popcorn. And I open the microwave. I can't even hold on. How did Moses stay persistent for 40 years? The answer is in the second part of that verse. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. He kept his eyes on God. When we keep our eyes on God, it keeps us persistent. If you look to the consistent, you will stay persistent. But if you're like me, you look to yourself. And when we look to ourselves, eventually we start to see our limitations. But when we look to God, we look to the one who is limitless. Some of you today may be at the quitting point. You're tired, you're fed up, you're done with life, health issues, finances. And perhaps the only reason God brought you here today is to tell you this. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on me. Look at all that I have brought you through. Look at the prayers that I have answered. Look at the things that I've provided for you that you never even asked for. I will get you through this. Faith is persisting when we don't feel like it. Faith also thanks God before we receive it. In Hebrews 11:30, we read, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after the people had marched around for 7 days." Joshua takes the people to the most fortified city. These people were desert wandering, sun-beaten ex-slaves, and they're supposed to conquer a city. I don't think so. What'd they do? They marched for 7 days, first in silence, and then praising God and thanking God and praising God and thanking God and marching. And on the 7th day, the walls came down. Faith is not just believing that God can do something. He can do it whether we believe it or not. Faith is trusting that he is at work in your life right now, that the answer is already on its way. Faith thanks God in advance. In Mark 11:24, we read, "When you pray and ask for something, believe that you have received it, past tense, and you will be given what you ask for, present tense." I have to believe in the God who can give it and thank him for it before I receive it in order to get it. That is faith. Along with this, faith is trusting God even though we don't get it. God's not going to give us something bad. He's not going to give us everything we ask for either. Some of us have figured out that little secret. See, he's not a vending machine where you put in a prayer and you get everything you want. Dear God, thank you. Doesn't happen that way. When we pray, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says, wait, not yet. And God even has the audacity, when we pray, to answer with, I got a better idea. I got something totally different for you. All four of these are valid answers. Faith is trusting God even when we don't get the answer we expected or wanted. So which of these aspects do you need to work on the most? Believing when you don't see it, obeying when you don't understand it, persisting when you don't feel like it, thanking before you receive it, or trusting even though you don't get it? There are two ways God builds our faith. It is through his word and through trials, our favorite. In 1 Peter 1:7, we read, "These trials are only to test your faith, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. It will bring you much praise and honor on the day of his return." Some of you are going through a test right now. Hang on. Trust that he will bring you through like he has brought you through in the past. Cling to these six aspects of faith. In Hebrews 12, we read that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. You see, we can trust and believe in just about anything, or we can trust in Jesus, the Lord Almighty. We can obey our personal moral code of conduct, our conscience, Jimmy the Cricket, or the latest self-help fad. Or we can serve the one who came not to be served, but to serve mankind through his life, death, and burial, and resurrection. We can give to charity or worthwhile causes and feel good about ourselves. Or we can offer everything that we have to the one who made us in his image, to the one who increased our value and our worth through the blood of his son. Oh, we can try. We can try our hardest to persist and overcome on our own strength, on our own willpower, by our own wisdom. Or we can trust in the one who said, "In your weakness, my power is made perfect." And like Pastor likes to say, that is your choice. Please stand with me and pray. Dear God, help us to be like Noah and Abraham and obey when we don't understand it. Help us to be like Moses and trust you and persist even though we don't feel like it. Help us to be like Abel and give when we don't have it, to give out of faith. Help us to be like Joshua and thank you before we receive it. Teach us to trust you. If you have never invited Christ in your life, then say, "Jesus, help me to trust you. I want to get to know you. I want you to be Lord of my life. God, teach me how to live by faith." We ask these things in your name.